This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Munir and I have reached kind of halfway mark or so in this trek around this beautiful lake. And we're having a discussion and talking about certainty. And so I was saying to Munir that just walk, just take slowly, walk slow motion. See, just see Munir's steps. What is he doing? All right, he's taking a step forward. Now, when you're taking a step forward, ask yourself, what am I doing? What you're doing and what anybody's doing is you are consciously taking a decision to upset your equilibrium. Because the safest position for a person is to stand squarely on his feet, the width of his shoulders, his feet apart, the width of his shoulders, and stay there. Don't move. That is the safest position. But if you take that safe position, then you are not going anywhere. You're going to be standing in one place until you drop dead. So that safe position is safe, but it's not of any use to anybody. So what do? We consciously lean forward. Just walk and see. You can practice this yourself. When you're walking, what are you doing? You're consciously leaning forward, knowing that you will fall, knowing that there is a chance of you falling, and then automatically, it has become automatic. When you were a little kid, 1 year old, 1.5 years old, it was not automatic. You did it consciously, but automatically your leg comes forward and stops you from falling. That is called the process of walking, to consciously choose to lose your equilibrium. Put yourself in danger of falling and then move the other leg to stop yourself from falling. If by some chance your other leg gets caught in the carpet or somebody trips you or something, you will fall. You will actually fall flat on your face, right? But you walk because that is the only way that we can get ahead. Nobody says, be safe, don't walk. No, you have to walk. So we were talking about the attitude that we have to learning Islam. And I'm talking about people like me and people like probably most of you who are listening to this podcast, people who have been born Muslims. In my family, I know that my ancestors have been Muslims practically from day one. From my mother's side, they came from Medina and from the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they have been Muslims for 14 plus centuries. From my father's side, they came from Central Asia. So they were probably Muslims for maybe what, 1,000 years or something like that, 1,200 years. So Muslims for, you know, generation after generation after generation. We never saw anything else. We never saw anything other than Islam. We never saw, alhamdulillah, our parents, grandparents, whoever, worshipping anyone other than Allah. Now, that's a good side of it, alhamdulillah. But the problem side of it is that, therefore, we don't have enough value for Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. And by enough value, I mean that we think it's like the air you breathe or the culture or the mother tongue we speak or something. It just happens. And it's okay if I, you know, don't know all the ins and outs of the culture. It doesn't matter. And so forth. So we don't take trouble to learn. One of the simple things that we were talking about is that we see in our madrasa here, children of the Afghan refugees who are here. Small children, we're talking about little children who are, you know, 7 years old or something. Those kids, they read Quran much better than the children of the Arabs. Even though the children of the Arabs are listening to hearing Arabic all the time. Their parents, grandparents all speak Arabic. They have Arabic channels running on the TVs and everything else. But they have not learned to read Arabic. Nobody taught them. They just send them to the school. Alhamdulillah, there is a school. Alhamdulillah, there is someone to teach them here. But if that hadn't been there, they would just not know. And I know this for a fact because I know people and I have met people who were in their 30s and 40s, 50s even, who could not read the Quran. Just nazar. I'm not even talking about reading it, understanding the meaning and what. Just nazar. Alif Lam Mim. They don't know how to read that. They don't know the letters. And it is not surprising. It's not a question of saying, how is it you are an Arab and you don't know? Learning doesn't come by osmosis. Learning doesn't come through the air. A person who studies knows. If a person doesn't study, he doesn't know. So that's why we have people who are old enough, but they have no knowledge. Now, Mudir Alhamdulillah is studying medicine in Lansing in Michigan. Family lives here in West Springfield. Michigan is a couple of thousand miles away. And I was saying to him that, why are you there? Why are you studying medicine? Because I want to become a doctor. Why do you want to become a doctor? Because that's a great career. Inshallah, I look forward to having a successful, long career. And we make dua for him. And I ask you all to make dua for him. May Allah grant him, make him a beautiful doctor with the best values, who is in it not for the money, but for bringing relief to his patients, whoever comes to him. And may Allah put shifa in his hand, inshallah. And make him a great diagnostician and help him to help others. And make his work a source of sadaqah jariyah for him. Now, so he goes from here, leaves his family, and studies in Michigan. Obviously, he comes and visits, but you know, that visit is once in several months because there he's studying from morning till night. There's no time to do anything else. All of this because he hopes to have a long and healthy life. He hopes to have a good career. He hopes that what he is studying will still remain relevant and valid, and that AI won't take it over and something else won't take it over. And, you know, he suddenly finds himself with a bunch of knowledge that is useless. He doesn't believe all that. He believes that this will not happen. He believes that what he's studying will remain relevant. And therefore, he's making all this effort. Now, question. As I said, may Allah grant him, keep him safe and grant him a long and healthy and productive life in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his deen. What is the guarantee that he or I or anybody will even be alive? You know, 10 minutes from now. Forget 10 minutes. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't even believe that you will make the salam, the two sides of the salam. You make one and you are dead before the other one. Alhamdulillah, if that happens, it's a good way to go because you're going in salah. But the point is, it is showing the impermanence of this life. So what is the guarantee if I'm going to medical school, if I'm going to engineering school, if I'm going to anything, studying for a career, what's the guarantee that I will be alive to take advantage of that knowledge? There is no guarantee. It's all based on a hope. It is all based on probability. It's all based on a hope. And you say, what is this hope based on? It's based on nothing. It's just a hope, period. I hope it will happen. Based on what evidence? No evidence. Right? Yet, we do it. Whereas, the fact that I will go into my qabr, is that a hope or is that a certainty? The fact that I will be resurrected, I will be brought out of my grave, is that a hope or is it a certainty? I'm asking Muslims. I'm asking people who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The fact that I will be called before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, is it a hope or is it a certainty? The fact that there is Jannah and there is Jahannam, is it a hope or is it a certainty? Right? And I know the Sunday school answer to that. So that's no good. Because obviously I will say yes to all of these. It's certainty. And supposing then you put a, you know, you take a video of my life and you find that my life, I'm doing things, I'm disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from morning till night, what Allah made fard I don't do, what Allah made halal I don't eat, what made Allah made haram I eat. I earn my living in ways that Allah has prohibited. And my excuse is, oh, you see, this is America, this is Europe, this is this country, this is that country. Here, unless I sell haram stuff, I cannot eat. I have to feed my family and all usual stuff. I mean, you know. Then where is this, where is the truth when I say that I believe with certainty that I will die, that I will be resurrected, that I will be called to account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is the evidence of this? Because with Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu, as we know, this chattering like monkeys that we do in this world won't work. We have to show evidence, and our body will speak, and our hands and feet will speak, and our eyes and ears will speak, and our tongue will remain silent. So what are they going to say? We are writing our own books. This walk that we are doing, Munir and I, may Allah make this part of His ibadah, may Allah put this into our scales. And may Allah bless Munir, because thanks to him I'm making this walk. He comes and picks me up and we come and spend his time. MashaAllah, Allah has given me these sons, Alhamdulillah. I won't name others, because then the others will say I forgot them. So Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me so many of them. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And I say to them, jokingly and sincerely, that the best part of it is that I didn't pay any of their bills. So I got all these sons of mine for free. Alhamdulillah. And I hope that when I'm dead, they'll make dua for me, inshallah, and that I ask Allah to accept the dua for me. So the point I'm making is that this is being written. This is, Munir is writing it in his book, I'm writing this in my book, and this is being written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our books. And on the Day of Judgment, we will see this. We will see the two of us walking in this place, this beautiful Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walking through snow. Everything is white. All the streams have turned into ice. Alhamdulillah. And be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I remind myself and you, let us get real. Because Allah said, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah said, from the people, there are those who say, مَنْ يَقُولُ. Allah is not saying they deny. Allah is saying, مَنْ يَقُولُ, they say, آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, that we believe in Allah and we believe in the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteeing and saying, وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ, but they are not Muslims, they are not from the believers. May Allah save us from this and not make us among those who are mentioned in this ayah, inshallah. We are looking at the stream which is flows into the lake, and it's frozen, but if you see here, it's not entirely frozen. If you look carefully, that hole, the water in that is... you can see the water flowing under the ice. So there is a certain amount of ice, but under the ice, the water is still flowing. Here you can see it like ghostly going under the ice, right? And there you can see it also clearly, water flowing under the ice. So there's a layer of ice and there's water underneath that. And this is also binallahi ta'ala, this is also the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is for the benefit of those who live in these waters, the underwater creatures, the fish and the amphibians, others, who still have liquid water to live in. If the thing froze solid from the top to the bottom, then they would just freeze to death, but they don't, because Allah has kept them alive and gives them their rizq in an environment which seems completely devoid of anything to sustain life. Subhanallah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.